Welcome to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on the America Out Loud platform. I'm glad you could join me tonight. My co-host tonight is BB Diamond of Facebook, Our Urban Story. BB, how are you tonight?
I am doing well, thank you, and thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Always, yes, thank you for coming on. You know, BB, we're a couple of days away from spring. Spring is in the air. And when spring is in the air, people like to go out, enjoy the outdoor weather. They like to mingle with friends, you know, pretty much have a good time. And I'm all down with that. But as I was, you know, trying to come up with a topic for tonight, looking at the news feed and, you know, looking at people milling about because the weather has been so nice. And there were things that I was seeing overall that kind of gave me like an angst that the spring is upon us, nice weather. As I said, when you have nice weather, people like to gang about and, you know, do things. And I saw a group of kids that were out walking around. And what was coming from that group, I was completely shocked because every word was F this, GD. I thought, wow, their mouths are just filthy. And and this is what you see in this young generation today. We have very foul mouths. But I was equally disturbed, BB, that had it been a group of boys, I would have said, okay, boys are kind of rough and tough. But BB, this was coming from a group of girls. And you would have thought it was a group of guys, a group of sailors. And I would say these girls had to be, I would say, range in age from 12, 13, 15, maybe 16, carrying on. And I thought, where are the parents? Where are the parents? And I guess they were coming from a school. So I was a few steps behind them, and I thought, this is unbelievable. And what really saddened me, just to see this as a whole, as kids behaving this way, girls behaving this way, but it happened to be a group of Black girls. And I remember back in the day when you would see Black girls walking out on college campus or high school, and they were just quiet, proper, dressed properly. When I say dressed, they actually had on clothes, BB. They had on clothes. And the girls that I was walking behind, again, this is a nice spring day, although spring's not here. What they had on, I don't know if it was clothes or not. And then I started to ponder and I started to think, what has happened to this generation? What has happened to our kids? What is going on in our society? And you'll see this like on a wide spectrum. But when I see it in the Black community, I, like I said, this angst, I like, where are the moms and the dads? Where are the aunts? Where are the grandmas? To give these young women direction, because the only direction they're getting right now is from female rappers like Megan Thee Stallion, Cardi B, Glorilla, Lil Red, and all these other rappers, female rappers, that I don't know if you remember, BB, but back in the day in the 80s, people were saying that the men who rapped that way were bad, they were a bad influence in their using women as objectifying women. But now women are doing it themselves. So when I reached out to you the other day and I wanted you to come on the show, I said, is there anything in particular that you wanted to talk about? And you responded back in a text and you said, restoring the Black culture. I thought, wow, that's powerful. Because oftentimes we come on the show and we point out the issues within the Black community. Now, there are issues in every community, granted. But we're focusing on the Black community, a community that has given all of their power almost to a political party that has promised to save them, as though it's like the next coming of Moses, and has done absolutely nothing. A political party that itself has objectified Black people and the Black vote and has destroyed the Black family. And all you see now is Black women empowerment, a strong Black woman. Why is it that you don't hear anything about a strong Asian woman or a strong white woman? It's always a strong Black woman. A Black woman's got to do this, a Black woman this, Black, Black, Black. And I say, well, the Black man was right there in the trenches with her. But see, we've allowed this party to destroy our culture of family consisting of a mom, dad, children, education, church, working, strong work ethics. No, someone could say, well, that's the that culture values of any group. And I agree, but definitely in the Black community. And this that we see right now, our kids running haywire, our kids, look at what happened the other day in that school, whereby a Black girl beat a white girl to the pulp. Quiet as is kept. What has happened? What is happening in our culture that we don't see it and we are allowing it to happen? Phoebe, what are your thoughts?
You know, Rob, this is such a critical issue for me and for a lot of us. Restoring the Black culture in the 19th and 20th centuries really was a culture of excellence. We had to be excellent. We couldn't be mediocre. It was a culture that was anchored spiritually to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We believed overall, not everyone, but overall in the Ten Commandments. That was our creed. Because if that we could learn no other book, the slave masters allowed us to read the Bible. My mother, the late Barbara from Harlem, said, she said once, no one's an empty vessel. You're either going to be filled with light or darkness, lightness or darkness. Our children, and it's happening at a wider, far out, you know, with white, Black, Hispanic, but it's a preponderance of this antisocial behavior is happening within the Black community. Why? Because, as I have said previously, we're coming to many of us from broken homes. We're also coming from a culture that does not put God first. So you have no earthly father, or you're not in contact with your earthly father, and you do not know your heavenly father. So what's guiding you? What's guiding you? Social media, Hollywood, the hip hop culture, which is really negative. That's what's guiding you. The code of the streets. That's what's guiding you. So right now, with a younger generation of our Black young men and women, too many of them, not all, are being filled. They are filled right now with darkness. That's why you hear the cursing unnecessarily. That's why they're dressing skimpily, because they have no connection to the God of the Bible. And most of them, I can guarantee you, have come from fractured homes. And this is what we're battling in within the Black community. And I'll go more, I'll go into it a little bit more, you know, because I'm just thinking of all the greatness. I think of Ida B. Wells, Garrett Morgan, who invented the traffic lights. And we could go on and on of the greatness, because Black people during that time had to rely on God first and then their talents. Let's think about the Tuskegee Airmen. Even though they were discriminated against in the US military, they excelled and helped to defeat Nazi Germany. So this is what I mean when I say restoring a Black culture, a culture of greatness.
Indeed, a culture of greatness. A culture, as you said, we had to rely on ourselves. We had to rely on our skill set to get us to the next level. And I've often heard, and you've probably heard the same thing, that the worst thing that happened to Blacks was integration. Whether you believe that or not, but when you look at it, before integration, we had our own communities. And I'm not preaching separatism, definitely not what the Democrats are trying to do now by divide us and say that one group is bad and the other group deserves all this extra privilege because of the way they were treated and they were oppressed. But when we relied on our own skill set, we knew that no one else was going to help us. We helped each other out. We looked after each other's children and made certain that they respected the elders and that they did what they were supposed to have done. Now, there were some that were, on the fringe that did things that they shouldn't do. But overall, they got up, they went to work because there was a mom and a dad in the family. Now they're pushing the single family household. Now they're saying, you don't need a man. We're going to make certain that the woman is able to provide for herself. And if she can't, we're going to let the government do it for her. I think it was Angela Stanton, who is a niece of MLK. I saw her on a video, and she said, what the Democrat Party has done to Blacks, definitely Black women, is just to give them just enough to live and no more than that. Because if they gave them more, they wouldn't need the Democrat Party anymore. They would go out and make it on their own. But they give them just enough. And you look at history, you look at FDR, you look at Johnson, you look at Kennedy, you look at Clinton, you look at Carter in these programs that they, welfare programs that they were given to Blacks. They gave them just enough to get by and no more. Because it enabled them to form a dependency on the Democrat Party that we see to this day. And when you try to tell them you can do it yourself, they won't do it. And then I hear people say also, BB, well, Republicans, they won't do anything for us, but they opened up the door and gave you an opportunity. It's up to you to walk through. Now, they're not going to pry at you and push you. Well, they didn't take me by the hand and walk me through the door. They don't need to do it. You're an adult. You're a grown man or woman. Walk through the door yourself. But we didn't want that. We wanted someone like the Democrat Party to coddle us and tickle us and say, oh, no, come through the door. Now you're forever dependent upon me. We need to cut those strings, that umbilical cord, and start standing up on our own. And that is the reason why we see the broken families. That is the reason why we see our women who birth a nation rapping derogatorily about their bodies, half dressed, simulating sex acts. Some of the women look like men, behave like men. And we're okay with this? We're saying to accept me, this is who I am? You look at the woman, Fannie Harris, who is prosecuting Trump, has been exposed for being the lie that she is. And I saw so many Black women saying, oh, she was on the witness stand and she told them like it was, being disrespectful, being nasty, a nasty attitude. And this is what we want to say is what a woman is. There were so many other great women out there who didn't behave that way. Even on the Democrat side, look at Shirley Chisholm. She didn't come out with all that nonsense. But yet, and still, for Black people, that's who you have to be in order to say that you're down. BB, I turned my back on it because that's not who we are as a people. We are a people that believe in family, a people that believe in God, a people that believe in education. While the Democrats are trying to turn us away from the church and God, yes, I know that there are a lot of churches that are out there that are flawed. But that's the reason why there are so many said that you can leave the church that's flawed and go somewhere else. Take down the walls, take it all down, and put your confidence in God. But see, they don't even want us to believe in God. And that's the reason why, BB, they've taken prayer and the Bible out of school and have brought in all this other curriculum about LGBTQ and DEI. And we have fallen for it, BB. What are your thoughts?
You know, Rob, you said something really striking. Many Black people wanted to be coddled. That was our mistake. This is not a country. We have safety nets, of course, but we're not expected to be coddled. You know, when the Pilgrims and the Puritans came over here for religious freedom, they did not expect to be coddled. They expected to work. They expected to do what they needed to do so they could worship Jesus Christ freely. Black people, we allowed ourselves to be lured into this relationship, if you will, where we're being coddled and promised things by the Democrat Party. And therefore, we stopped standing, too many of us, on our own feet. We didn't tap into our talent. We didn't tap into our God-given natural gifts. We just asked for handouts from the Democrat Party, and that has nearly ruined us. And going back to your point about segregation, I'm not for segregation. But what segregation showed us is that we could make it in spite of the hatred, in spite of the racism at that time. We could make it. This was a country where we couldn't make our own. That's why so many Black businesses and universities and colleges were founded even during the Jim Crow era. Tuskegee University wasn't just founded in 1970 something. It was founded and established during the Jim Crow era. Because even though there was racism in the South, we still worked hard. We still had opportunities. And we were determined to excel because we knew we were made in the image of God. So we knew that we were just as good as our white counterpart. We knew this. That's why we could start a Tuskegee. That's why we could start a Bethune-Cookman College with $1.50 in saving God. Sorry.
No, BB, you're right. When you think about it, you look at what our forefathers, our parents, our grandparents went through. And then here we are waiting for a handout, waiting for someone to coddle us, to walk us through that door. It's shameful. Now we're up on a commercial break, but we're going to pick this up. And as you can tell, BB is very passionate about this, and she has always been. And that is the reason why we welcome her on After Dark with Robin Andrew. We'll be back after this break. Thank you.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit healright.com/outloud or americaoutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
In 2008, people could spend an average of 12 seconds on a task without becoming distracted. 5 years later, it was only 8 seconds. The digital age is narrowing our attention span. Trouble concentrating or recalling information is frustrating, embarrassing, and kills productivity. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created Focus and Recall to boost your brain power. And unlike other supplements that don't work, Focus and Recall is not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients to help you immediately sharpen focus, concentrate longer, and strengthen recall. These physician-formulated gels come in a small gel pack. Tear off the top, shoot it down. Thousands of 5-star reviews proves it works. Supercharge your brain and see the difference. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
Folks, we are back with our topic tonight. Restoring the Black culture. Bringing it back to where it should be. And yes, there is a culture, and it's outside of the rappers, the strippers, and the gangbangers and all that. We had a beautiful culture, BB, of love and respect the family values. I look at the pictures of my grandparents and those that came before me. And I thought, wow. I look at, as I mentioned during the first block, at the way people dressed, the way our women dressed and our young men dressed, presenting themselves. And today, I mean, I'm all about comfort. But when you have all your business hanging out, and then you want to wonder why someone is looking, well, why are you dressing that way? Why do you have your boobs out? Why do you have your butt all out? Tight pants, tight dresses, both men and women. Why do you do it? Why are you dressing this way? Why is it that you're coming out with an attitude? Why is it that you're looking at people out of the corner of your eye? Why are you giving people a difficult time? Why are you speaking nasty? Why can't you be respectful? And you're getting all of this from the so-called entertainers, rappers. As I said during the opening block, I remember back in the 80s and the 90s when people were saying that rappers, the male rappers, were objectifying women and mistreating women. And now, BB, you have these same people who said that are applauding the young women like Megan Thee Stallion, Ice Spice, Flo Milli, Glorilla, even Beyonce. When she comes out, look at how she's dressed and how she has this spirit of ungodliness. I long for those singers who would just get on the stage and would sing with all their clothes on and then would walk off in a respectful manner. I long for those days. Now they're bringing sexuality into it, knowing that our kids are going to see this. This isn't a way to live. This isn't our culture. It's some form of ungodliness that we don't want. But you will have people who will say, no, this is who we are. I'm showing you how strong I am. No, you're not. You've been fooled. It is the vex of the devil. And if you sleep, you will get caught up in it. And so many people, BB, are sleeping. They're sleepwalking, and they're going to sleepwalk themselves right into hell, right into fire and brimstone. Because the Bible is the guide to live by. It is our book of life. It tells you the example to set. It tells you, let no corrupt communication proceed from your mouth. It tells you how to be. But see, they've taken that from us. They don't want us to look at this. They want us to look at superstars and the celebrities and how their life is. That isn't your life, and that's not going to get you to where you want to go. But if we were to turn away, there's a song that says, return, O black backslider. We'll go back to God. Now, I know many people have said, well, I had bad experience, and this happened when I was at the church. And I remember hearing a woman testify. That's when you go to church and you talk about the goodness of God or talk about something that has happened to you. And she was testifying, BB, and she said that she was in the church for a period of time in her 20s and that she left the church for 10 years. And she said that most people say, oh, how can you remember that? She says she remembered it because each night she would go to bed, she would pray, Lord, please don't leave me. Please don't take me tonight. Please don't take me. Now, although she had turned her back on the church, she knew that she had no salvation. She knew that if she died, she would wake up in hell. So she prayed every night, but she just couldn't make it back to the church because she said she was tired of it. She wanted to try something different. And this was her different, living in fear, doing what she wanted to do. But at night, oh God, that's it. I'm scared. I'm scared to go to sleep. Many people are afraid to go to sleep. But I'm here to let you know right now, if your life is over, it will be over when it's morning time. It'll be over when you're walking on the streets. It'll be over at noontime. There is no set time. You don't have to go to bed and think, well, I might not wake up. You can wake up and be started on your way and still drop dead. So this woman, during her testimony, she said that she and a friend decided they were going to meet up for drinks at a bar. Not good people from what they could see. Oh, good people, you know, I'm not committing fornication or anything like that. I'm not stealing. You know, I'm doing what I need to do, going to work. But she said that friend, after she had her drinks with her friend, went on the outside, got hit by a car, and was killed. So she went to the funeral. And she says her life began to flash in front of her. And she began to think, that could have been me. I could be laying there right now. That could have been me. But God spared my life. So she says she went back to church. And she says she wouldn't give anything for that journey right now. So she tells other people the exact same thing. Where is that in our community? Where are those people? We used to hear about them all the time. No, you don't hear about them. You hear about, I'm on the street and I'm trying to get my next gig and I'm rapping and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. I'm involved in this. Forgotten all about God, not being a light to the younger generation. So that the younger generation, we won't see them out on the street talking like sailors. We have just passed it, BB, and we're focusing on something that has no salvation whatsoever. What are your thoughts?
You know, excellent, excellent points, Rob. My thoughts are we need God. I believe every human being has this innate need to worship a higher power. And that will be filled with either lightness or darkness. Let me just divert just for a moment, momentarily. In the United Kingdom and Europe in general, they think, oh, Christianity and all that's so old-fashioned. We believe in a secular mindset. And you know what has happened as a result of that? Islam has rushed right in to fill the vacuum because people have this need to worship God. Even if they don't understand him, they don't understand the Bible, they don't understand this, they just need to worship God. So some churches in the UK have been converted to mosques. The secular world is not the answer. Yes, we need the secular world for certain functions, obviously. The answer is the Bible. That is our creed. That is our code. When we stray away from that, we run into issues. You know, someone said, like I saw it on Facebook, the Bible, basic instructions before leaving Earth. And I liken the Bible to, let's say you buy a Maytag washing machine. If you don't follow the manual that comes with your washing machine, it will not function properly. And we have seen this throughout our human experience. When we stray from the Bible, things go awry and wonky. And that is what has happened to the Black culture. We have to remember that our culture, our people, because at a time in American history, the majority, it was primarily Blacks and whites. There were some Chinese or Asians, like the working on the railroads, but primarily Caucasians and Blacks. There weren't really a lot of Asians or Hispanics at a certain point in American history. So who helped to build this country from the ground up? White Americans, as well as Black Americans. We literally helped to build this country from the ground up. I say that to say this. We have forgotten who we are as a people. We have forgotten the greatness of who we are. I see too many Black men, and it's primarily always Black men, sorry to say, opening doors for other people to walk in, begging. When you have people who've come from the Middle East, who come from South America, driving cars, doing what they need to do to hustle, and we're begging. Why are we begging? And I was thinking the other day, and I've thought this thought for many years now, is that we as a people, we are in the wilderness. Remember the story in the Old Testament or the Tanakh, where the children of Israel were in the wilderness for 40 years because of their disobedience. That is us. We have been disobedient to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who came to us in person as Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. We have abandoned, too many of us, the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Therefore, the vacuum is being filled up with shaking your booty, twerking, the negativity, drinking, alcohol, disrespect. They'll curse out a teacher, curse out a police officer, curse out coaches, no respect. Because when you don't have a father in the home, a godly father, I might add, you're not really taught to respect authority. That's why they can curse the teachers out. They can curse the principal out. They don't care who you are. They'll curse a pastor out. They have no respect. I believe, and not everyone believes in God. I know there are atheists. But I believe, and I'm just going to bring it straight down to the Black community. We don't have a separate creed like maybe American Indians do. Certain cultures, certain people, the Irish, Our only creed as Black people really are the Ten Commandments. When we divorce ourselves from the God of the Bible, we have found ourselves in the wilderness. And too many of us right now are lost. And this is why you have so many Black men and women who are willing to punch, kick, rob, abuse, kill people that have done nothing to them, that go to somebody in the train, go up to someone and punch them for what? And sometimes they dare these teenage girls, I dare you to hit that woman, hit an Asian woman for what? She did nothing to them. And then we wonder why Asians and others are concerned about getting on the train, particularly with young Black men and women, because they don't know what spirit is guiding them. But I can tell you this, it's not the spirit of God in most cases. That's why the curse you out, not even know you, wear skimpy clothes, will smack you, will spit on you, and you've done nothing to them because they have been consumed, to many of us, by a demonic spirit. And that is what's guiding today's Black culture. Thank you.
And you're right, BB. And that is the reason why Asians are afraid to get on the train with a Black person. And we say, well, why are they behaving this way? It is because of the example that we have put out there. It is because of the unchecked behavior and attitude that we have allowed to become so pervasive in our community. And then you have these right-wing, no, I'm sorry, left-wing Democrats who excuse it and say, well, wait a minute, they're just having fun. Leave them alone. That is the reason why they don't want you to discipline your child. Oh, don't spank him. That's rude. That's corporal punishment. That child's going to grow up and hate you. No, that child is going to grow up and be respectful. That child will grow up and not be a part of the criminal system that you have created. I have talked about this time after time after time again. You look at all of our major cities. What do you see? Crime. Crime nonstop. The other day, there was a Black man on the subway with a gun. A day before that, there was a Black man doing something. A day before that, there was a Black woman. And the list goes on and on and on. Alvin Bragg, the district of attorney, has decided we're not going to prosecute it. Before Andrew Cuomo left office, the governor, he decided, well, any crime that's, if you steal under 900 or more, we're not going to prosecute. And on these other crimes, we're not going to prosecute them either. And look at what has come out. Bad behavior. Blacks doing things that they should not do in the Black communities. And then you have all these liberals saying, oh, don't worry about it. We'll be okay. The decay of society. And you know what will happen? Slowly, they will enact laws, strict laws that will say, if you do this, you will go to jail for 20 years. You will go to jail for 50 years. Who will get caught? Black people. They will be in jail. And they will turn around and say, oh, those laws, they were so difficult. Why did you create those laws? Well, the same people who told you could do anything, they are now creating the laws, will now create the laws, rather. They say you can't do it, and then they will lock you up. They were allowing you to get away with it for now. But soon time will come, and they will change the laws the same way they did the laws with drugs. They allowed drugs to be rampant. And then the 70s and the 80s, they came around with the most strictest and hardest drug laws in New York City. People going to drugs for even just having marijuana. Oh, why did you do that? Well, now you see why they did it. Because what's happening now. And we have our elected officials like Cori Bush, Ilhan Omar, Jamal Bowman, looking at this and saying, oh, that's okay. Let Black people do what they want to do. And you have all of our other so-called Black leaders. And notice during this conversation, at this discussion, not once did I or BB Diamond say African Americans. I don't believe in it. I'm not an African American. I am an American. My ancestors have been here longer than the ancestors of some white people. If Black people only realize that and respect it, they march around saying, my ancestors built this country. Okay, and then you're the knucklehead who's going to destroy it. You're the knucklehead who's tearing up the neighborhood so that businesses would divest in your neighborhood and go somewhere else. And then you start crying, oh, my grandma doesn't have a pharmaceutical company to go to. She's got to go way across town. Well, because you tore up the neighborhood and the businesses decided to leave. Is this what we want? Is this what we're celebrating? When you have the second black mayor in New York City to call it Chocolate City, but he's doing nothing to help the people. He sees the crime is on an all-time high. He's doing nothing. The top cops in New York City, Letitia James, Alvin Bragg, and then the mayor, all black, and you have all this violence? And then you want to tell me that's okay? Absolutely not. And it's not acceptable. And we're going to call you out because it's an abomination. It's shameful to see you have all the top cops in one of the largest cities in America and look at the crime that you have. Meanwhile, they're busy trying to go after one white man, but they're not trying to help the black community. It's disgraceful. It's disgraceful and it's horrible. Look at the example that they're setting. And it's not a good example. And the list goes on and on and on. We've talked about this before, BB. You look at all the major cities and you look at the people at the top. What type of example are they? They're not an example. What type of families are they coming from? This is an embarrassment. And it goes back to what King said, content of character. Not your skin color, the content of your character. But see, they can't talk about that now. And you know why they can't talk about it? Because the content of the character is just as dirty as anything else. Now, we're coming up on another commercial break, but when we come back, I want to talk about the so-called elected leaders who are doing nothing to further the cause of the black culture, especially when you have the so-called vice president of the United States visiting a slaughterhouse of babies. Yes, I said it. We'll be back after this commercial break with my co-host, BB Diamond of Facebook's Our Urban Story. Thank you.
Well, the year 2024 must be the year of the Patriot, and AmericaOutloud.news will equip you with all the information you need to give new meaning to the words Patriot Act. For our actions always ultimately define our words. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-haul effects of the toxic spike protein. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed their spike support formula to counteract harmful spike protein from COVID-19 and vaccines so you can feel your best. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. The Wellness Company's chief medical board designed every supplement and medical protocol with your health in mind. From groundbreaking supplements like the Spike Support Formula to unique care like Freedom from Big Pharma. Join a healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interest of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be, with a company that shares your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
Now we're back with the last half of the show. And when we went to break, I was teasing you about these powerful black leaders who are supposed to be an example, not only to the United States, but definitely to black people. Because for so long, we have always said, we don't see us out front. We need to see more of us, especially our children, so that we can have an example or a role model. I agree with that. But when I was coming up, anyone who was doing something good, my parents said to emulate. If that person happened to be black, of course, I'm like, wow, they're doing it also. But now, 2024, we have black leaders. We have black people that are out there. But unfortunately, BB, they're just as divisive. They don't have good character. They don't have the values that we've been talking about in the Black culture. They don't believe in the family, the man, the dad, the children. They don't believe in the education. They don't believe in the church as a foundation that's going to hold us together. A family that prays together, stays together. They don't believe in that. They believe in the secular world. Oh, you can do what you want. Women can run the household. Let the woman tell the man what to do. Oh, yes, and bring it all out there. And not only that, life itself, something that we have always cherished in the Black community. And we cherished it because of slavery and how our families were torn apart. That's the reason why. But now you would be hard pressed to see that we cherish the family institution, that we cherish the institution of marriage. Because we're being told by our so-called Black leaders and celebrities, oh, you don't have to worry about that. You can do what you want to do. The other day, BB, I was shocked and astounded to see that the first Black vice president, Kamala Harris, visiting an abortion center. What is the message she's telling our young girls? What is the message she's saying about the family? The same message that the founders of Black Lives Matter, Patrice Cullors, and her cohorts were subtly saying. They don't believe in the Black family. They don't believe in the unit. Well, that's what Campbell was saying when she visited an abortion center. It's your body. You should be able to do what you want to do. To kill a baby? An innocent being? I mean, like, of all the places she could have gone, why would she go there? Because she's trying to send out a signal. Vote for me, keep us in power, because we're going to make certain you can keep killing those babies on demand. We don't care. You keep voting for us. She is supposed to be an example, an exemplary person to say, no, look at me, look at what I have accomplished. But she can't. You know why? Because when you look at her background is anything less than stellar. Let's just be honest here. How did she get to the top? She got to the top on her back. Let's just be honest. And now word is co gradually coming out of the affairs that she had with the married man, Willie Brown, on the arm of Montel Williams. This woman is an abomination, and she will meet to no good end. And to show up in an abortion center, why not show up at a church? Why not go there and try to help young women and say, look what you can do? But see, that's against the very antithesis of what Black people like, what Black people, Black culture is about. Look at Barack Obama, he and Michelle Obama. Have you seen them in the Black neighborhood? Have you seen them sitting down and eating with a Black family? Now, we saw Joe Biden eating with a son, a father and a son. They were eating chicken. I'm like, what's the big deal? But have you seen Barack Obama? No, he's too busy on the yachts of rich white men. He's too busy trying to make sure he can count his dollars. Michelle was too busy trying to get her hair braided and tell people, this is who I am, and you should be able to snap your fingers and do what you want to do and say what you want to say and tell your husband that you're mad at him. These are supposed to be examples, but they're not. They're far from it, BB. What do you say?
Well, you're absolutely right. One of the problems that we're facing in the Black community is our so-called civil rights leaders are no longer, they're not coming from a biblical perspective. They're coming from a secular perspective. So they are not to be relied on. The founders of BLM, until they scrubbed their website, they talked about being Marxists. And Marxism and communism, it excludes those two ideologies. Exclude God. So the so-called leaders of the Black community are not leading from that moral foundation. We are, in essence, following the world. Look at so-called Reverend Al Sharpton, these so-called reverends like Jesse Jackson. Where are they standing up for the word of God? The few exceptions, too many Black preachers are silent. And they see the Black culture when they drive through these neighborhoods. They see Black men gambling on Sunday morning. Instead of stopping and engaging and inviting them to church, they're just driving by them. They do not want to get involved, and they should be involved. You know, the translation of pastor, if I'm not mistaken, is shepherd. You're supposed to shepherd your people, shepherd the people in your neighborhood, your congregation. And it's like too many Black pastors have fallen to the Democratic Party, and that's not acceptable. That is one of the reasons our community, with few exceptions, is truly blessed, because we have walked away or ignored what it says in the Bible. I mean, we've created this form of this worship that's not biblically based. We want to jump up and down, turn to your neighbor, ain't God good all the time? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then we leave the church and we're blaming the white man. We're blaming the Asians. We're blaming Hispanics. And we're not taking the responsibilities of what we're doing on ourselves. Black people, we really, I cannot emphasize this enough, we really need to return to God. He is the answer. He wants to heal us. But we can't keep rejecting him, because right now we're walking in darkness. We're walking in darkness. That's why so many of our young men and women, they could go into a store and trash it, destroy it. Now you don't have a Walgreens for your neighborhood. Now you don't have a grocery store in your neighborhood, because some young people decide to trash it, to assault the cashiers. Why? Because they have this unresolved anger that is not being addressed. They were not validated by their parents. Not validated. And in some cases, you have young Black people, and it may happen in other communities, but just focusing on Black Americans, you have young Black people coming from homes in which the mother has 6 children by 5 different men. Half of the children know their fathers, the other half do not. They're not being nurtured, they're not being taught. So something's going to fill that vacuum. There are no empty vessels, either light or dark. And if they're not guided to God and to discipline and respect, they're like, I hate to say it, they're like sociopaths. They can push a woman down the stairs. They can go into the store and trash it. They can knock over a food truck, because there is no right spirit is not guiding them. And there are no adults really giving them that guidance. And I'll end on this for now. I remember when I worked in Brooklyn, and I hated being outside, to be quite honest, around 3 p.m. when the kids were let out of school. I would go outside. They were just like wild. And they would just harass some of the food vendors. And I said, don't do that. Stop. Be respectful. Without that godly guidance, without adults who care, our children are acting, unfortunately, it pains me to say it, like sociopaths. And that's the honest truth. If a white person has said what I just said, they'd be called a racist. But we cannot cure cancer if we do not identify the cancer and work to eradicate it or contain it. Thank you.
You're right. We have to identify the problem the same way we have to identify the cancer, so that you can eradicate it. But if someone else were to say what you just said, oh, that's racism. You can't say that. But why can't I speak the truth? We need to be able to speak the truth and call it out. But as I said, we're busy trying to coddle. We want to be coddled. And in the process, we are destroying the culture. We're destroying what makes us a group of people. And Bibi, I mean, I don't know if you're noticing or not, but we're killing ourselves. We don't have to worry about the boogeyman, white man that's going to kill us. We're doing it ourselves. And no one is saying anything about it. As I mentioned about the abortion clinics, Kamala Harris standing before the abortion clinic. That's the example our young Black girls are seeing. You have these rappers, girls that are out rapping music. You have our Black men, Black boys, not wanting to go to school. And why should they, when they're being told that they're mean and they're evil and they're this, and they don't need to, Black girls don't need to date them? Because they're trying to turn them over to wickedness. They're trying to introduce to them this form of ungodliness, of lesbianism, and of gayism. That's what they're doing. Wanting them to experiment it. Try this out. It's an abomination. And it's all about destroying the Black family so the Black family can't come together. How can two women produce a child? How can two men produce a child? They can't. But they want to keep us at each other's throats. The black women, they're better. We're going to make sure they get the jobs. And the black man, oh, so what? As I said before, look at this administration. What has Joe Biden done significant for blacks or black men? What did Barack Obama do? What did Barack Obama do? Did he put any black man and a high official ranking member? No, but look what he did for black women. Surrounded by Valerie Jarrett, Susan Rice. Where were the black men? That shows you how much they think about black people. But they will have you running around calling yourself African-American all day long and how you built the country, but it's the same country. You don't want to stand up and say a Pledge of Allegiance or sing America the Beautiful or Our Country Tears of Thee. But yet still, give me, give me, give me, give me. And of course, they're going to give you because they're going to keep you tethered to them so that you can't get away. Mm. And Billy, it's Bibi, it's sad that they can't, people can't see it. Go ahead.
Before we close tonight, you brought up some things, a lot of things, but one of the key things, you mentioned Angela Stanton King. She noticed something I noticed. You notice how the leftists never push for illegal women to get abortion, but they push abortion in the black community. You notice how blacks are shooting each other almost on a daily basis, whether it's in Chicago, for example, or New Orleans, but you don't hear Democrats talking about gun control. But if a white guy goes and shoot him, and that's horrible, of course, or there's a mass shooting or transgender shoots, whatever, they call for gun control. Why? Do they want black people? They want us to kill ourselves? And you're right. The KKK, white supremacists, you go on a permanent vacation because we are doing their jobs, unfortunately, and sadly, and tragically. Thank you.
And you don't have people like Barack Obama or Kamala Harris calling it out. You don't have the Jesse Jacksons, although he's down, I've heard, but Al Sharpton or Van Jones calling it out. Why aren't they? Why aren't they calling this out? Because they don't care. They want to keep us down. They want to keep us tied to the Democrat Party. They don't want to say anything about our culture. And when they do talk about it, it's all you're oppressed. Look at what they won't do for you. That is a reason why, BB, I don't know about you, but I get sick and tired of seeing movies about slavery. I'm like, we didn't start there. Okay. And we won't, hopefully we won't end up there. Okay. I want to see accomplishments. I want to see regular programming about us. I want to see us as a family unit. And that is a reason why I enjoyed The Cosby Show so much. Regardless as to what you think about Bill Cosby, it was a wholesome family. But the left didn't like it. And the left allowed black people, they talked to black people and convinced them that that's not the show for you. You don't want that show. You shouldn't like that show. You should be looking at shows whereby the boys and the girls are dancing and they're twerking, and you should look at shows like Posse, whereby you have lesbianism that's celebrated and you have gayism. Those are the shows you should like. But I refute it. I resist those shows. We got to turn our back on that. And we got to start looking at wholesome values, things that's going to bring us together. Because this other stuff isn't going to bring us together. You, again, you look at our celebrities. Look, you look at the singers, baby, and that's pretty much what kids know about. These filthy rappers. I'm thinking, but we're more than that. We're so much more than that. Now, I'm not going to go around like some people say all the time on Facebook, we're kings and we're queens. Well, yeah, maybe some of us were, but we don't have to be kings and queens to be more than that. We are about family values. We are about love. We are about church. And as I opened the show saying, family, man, woman, mother, dad, children, education, church, stepping up right. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with speaking proper English. There's nothing wrong with wanting to put clothes on and look decent. There's nothing wrong with not wanting to talk loud and be ghetto, wear a bonnet out in the streets. Men with their pants sagging. We don't want that. We can dress up. We can put clothes on. We can look decent. But But you have others to say, oh no, you want to express yourself. You can do the other things. While they're laughing at us. And then we wonder why. Well, why can't I? They don't want me to come here because they say that I'm black. No, they don't want you to come because of your attitude. They don't want to live next to me because I'm black. No, they don't want to live next to you because of your attitude. We need to look at ourselves and see what is wrong with us. As the Bible says, take the beam out of your eye. I mean, there's a lot of beams in a lot of our eyes that we need to remove and look at what we're putting out there. Now, of course, those are the bougies, as I always mention. You always have the bougie neighbors like the Obamas and the ones in Biden's White House, his administration, that won't agree with this because they want you to think that you're being oppressed, because that's the key word. But BB, we got to walk away from that. We have got to turn our backs on it. This is 2024. And as I've always said, the kids that are being born now, they have grown up in the most desegregated society. And a society that's not looking at all this crazy stuff. And that's the reason why, BB, they want to bring it back to them and tell them that they're being oppressed so that they will think it and then they will continue the hate. What do you say in the final closing moments?
You know, thank you. I want to go back to what you said. You said a lot of excellent things tonight. One of the things you said, I'm tired of the slave movies as well, because the motivation behind them is not to educate. It's to just keep us trapped in this mindset of victimhood, or we were slaves, or America is this or that. But America has given you more opportunities as a Black American than any other place on earth. America has been a blessing. You helped to build America. And as you excellently said, Rob, then why are you turning around letting people convince you to not stand for the flag, to not respect this country? We need to get back to God if we're going to restore our great Black culture. That is urgent, and that's something that Rob and I are going to continue to work on. Thank you for having me. I greatly appreciate it. Thank you.
We have no other choice, BB, but to keep talking about it. Even if we only touch one person, hopefully that one person will tell someone else and it will start to spread. But we can't give up. No matter how dire it looks, no matter how frustrating it looks. And like I said, I get this angst when I see this. I refuse to give in. I refuse to give up. Because for one, we're Americans and we helped to build this country. And I am not going to go out and allow the left to win by telling us otherwise. It is a strong culture of family values, education, and church, with God being the foundation. We got to get it back to that. You've been listening to After Dark with Robin Andrew on the America Outlaw platform, and my co-host tonight, BB Diamond of Facebook, Our Urban Story. God bless. God be with you. And as my friend Andrew would always say, stand for something or fall for nothing. Thank you and good night.